Clark Tire, with the lowest tire prices guaranteed since 1943. Celebrating 70 years of exceptional service to you, your vehicle, and our community.
Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer, and I want to thank you for listening in today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And while we're talking about that, I'd like to take a moment to invite you to come be with us in any or all of our services. Mount Lebanon Baptist Church is located at 1128 Baird's Creek Road. That is just off of Highway 105 South. And if you know where the Willow Creek Golf Course is, we are just above that, 1 mile of Baird's Creek Road. We have Sunday school for all ages, 10 a.m. Sunday morning, 11 a.m. as well. Our Sunday morning worship service, then on every second and fourth Saturday or Sunday night, we have our Sunday night service at 6 p.m. So we'd love for you to come out and be with us in any or all of those services. We would welcome you, and we're used to having visitors, so we'd love for you to come be with us. Now, I have a special announcement for this coming Saturday night. I want to mention this. This is January the 25th, Saturday night at 7 p.m., Mount Lebanon is hosting this month's County Singing, and we'd love for you to be there. For more information, you can contact Brother Clint Cornett, and I'm going to give his number a couple of times here. This is Saturday night, County Singing, this Saturday night at 7 p.m., 828-297-3270. And if you'd like more information concerning this Saturday night's County Singing, Clint Cornett, 828-297-3270. And I also want to take a moment to identify our radio stations. We appreciate all of our listeners. We are on more than one station, but we appreciate our home station, we might say, AM 1450 WATA. Right here in Boone, North Carolina. And then we're on 690 AM in Bristol, Virginia. That's the one to turn to, 690 AM. We appreciate the good folks over there at WZAP. And then way out in Watertown, South Dakota, we know they've been having some, we think we have winter cold around here in South Dakota. They really know what winter is all about and regularly have snow and minus 0 degrees, but we appreciate 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. And we appreciate Brother Lamar Whittemore, the pastor there, and we appreciate them having us on Saturdays. Now, if you listened in last week to the radio broadcast, I did a broadcast, and the title was The News. I just had some things about the news. I'm not going to go back over all of that again, but the more I think about it, and you know I think about things throughout the week, it seems to me that the news, we are constantly bombarded with different news stories. I'm going to say the news so-called. But it tends to keep us from the heart of the matter. I mean, what is really, you get down to what our country needs, the direction that we need to be going in. The news hinders us from really doing that. What we have in the news, and I'm talking about your major news stories on the major networks, what you have there. We are continually swept along from one crisis to another. And if we're not careful, we'll think, well, this is the most important thing that's going on right now. But this continual one crisis to the next, And there'll be weeks on end. I mean, you could just pick out whatever. Let's just say, since this is in the news right now, Governor Chris Christie up in New Jersey and Bridgegate, and now I've seen on the news before I came over here, there's a second scandal involving him, and there'll be weeks on end of blaming one another and whose fault and what should have been done and all this analyzing by all these talking heads, these political commentators that you see on, and it doesn't matter, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, all these different news outlets. And in a week or two, or, you know, the next crisis that comes up, we'll leave that behind. We'll move on to the next scandal, personal failure, social experiment. I mean, there's just all kinds of things. I believe a good illustration we could get about that, about the effect that the news has upon some people, would be an illustration from the Bible. In Ephesians chapter number 4, the Apostle Paul is talking to the church about the importance of them being well established in the faith. And there's a verse over there, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Now, I don't want to be accused of taking this out of context. I'm going to present it as it is in the Bible. He's talking to the church. He's talking about the importance of them being well established in the faith. What we could say about that, they should know their Bible and what the Bible says, know their scriptures. Well, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says, here's the reason why we need to be well established in the faith, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. I had never really noticed that until I was studying this subject. It'd be carried about by the sleight of men. You have that word sleight of hand when somebody's doing a card trick or something, and they use sleight of hand. Well, Paul talked about this sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, he's talking about those not established in the faith will fall for anything. There's the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Spiritually speaking, there are many, many cults, isms, schisms, that people get involved in and get taken by. They get wrapped up in. The only way you can do that is to not know what the truth of the Bible says. So you'll fall for this sleight of men the Bible talks about. Well, the same principle applies politically or nationally speaking. Your average American is woefully ignorant. And I'm not saying this mean. This has been proven, study after study, statistically speaking. And here's something that always amazes me. These comedians and different talk shows, they'll go out on the street and talk to your average person. This is something that is done over and over again in our society. But these talk shows, they'll go out on the street and they'll ask people questions. They'll say, what do you think about Joe Biden? And I seen something like that the other day, and the person didn't even know who Joe Biden was, did not know that he was the vice president of the United States. That's just one example. There's been people go out and try to say to people, well, we're trying to sign a petition to get Karl Marx elected, and people will sign up. They just don't know. We don't know our history. We don't know our heritage. We don't know our foundations. We don't know about our framers of this great country. We don't know what the American Revolution was fought for. People don't know anything about the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and on we could go. Now, that is dangerous in a society. There's still a great many people who believe that if we could just get the Republicans back in charge, that we'd be all right. Or if we could just get the Democrats back in charge or totally in charge, that, you know, one of these parties, one of the other, would be able to fix the many, many problems that our nation is facing today. But I want you to know that nothing could be further from the truth. This Democrat-Republican political con game has gone on for generation after generation. It gets worse and worse the farther we go down the road, and people don't really understand what is taking place. But it is a slight of men, because let me point out something today. No, if you go back in the history of our nation, the past 40 years, 50 years, what you will find is that no matter who is in charge, and both parties have had plenty of opportunities to prove to the nation that they're able to handle things, but what you have is just a changing of the guard, but nothing really changes. For example, and I could mention several things today, but I'll just mention the economy and our debt, our great debt that we have. Well, George Bush, Republicans, they really amped it up when it come to our national deficit. And boy, when George Bush was in there, George W. Bush I'm talking about, and he was the president, and he was getting us involved in all this spending, boy, the Democrats, they just went mad over that. That's all you ever heard. And what a idiot that George Bush was. Not my words, but boy, they labeled him as being just the biggest dummy, and he's going to ruin the country and run it into the ground. The Democrats did. Well, they get in control, and the present administration that we have, well, they're making what George W. Bush did look like nothing. And I would say if the Republicans got back in, well, they'd just go right on. There's this con game that is going on, this sleight of men, this deception. This is not the greatest problem. This is not the heart of the matter. This is not what we need as a nation, is just to change political parties one more time. And I can say that I am neither a Democrat nor a Republican. I am independent. And so I can say that. I have no problem. I'm not pulling for one or the other specifically. That's not what needs to take place in this country. I believe, and I'm speaking as a pastor today, that our only hope is, number one, a spiritual revival in this country, a renewal, a waking up of people, spiritually speaking. We are asleep on what is really important in this nation. There's many, many things that we ought to be concerned about, praying about. There's our children, their future. I cannot get into all of those things, but in the Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land." I do believe that there is always the possibility that the Lord could make the difference. But now God's people are going to have to wake up. We're going to have to be the ones to lead our nation back to where it needs to be. So there's a great need for a spiritual awakening. And if you study church history, you will find that there has been times that revival has saved the nation of America. Could it happen? I'm not going to say that it's not, but I can say emphatically that it has happened in the past. There was the Great Awakening, which took place right before the American Revolutionary War. That set the stage to make America what America is today. There was another great revival right before the Civil War that actually lasted through the Civil War, and I believe set the stage for our country to heal even after the bad blood and feelings of the Civil War. There was a revival that took place in America. There has been others, not as large an extent as that's called the First and the second great awakening. But anyway, we need a spiritual revival. We also, along those same lines, we need as a nation to get back to the Constitution of the United States of America. We need to get back to the principles. We need to get back to doing what the Constitution says. We are so far away from that that it's not even funny. And I'm not talking about just in lip service, because everybody pays lip service to the Constitution when it suits what they want. I seen something the other day where Boehner had said, well, we do have a Constitution. Well, the Republicans have been just as guilty in neglecting what the Constitution says as anybody else. So they all pay lip service. I mean, the Supreme Court will pay lip service. The president will talk about it. The Democrats, the Republicans, the House of Representatives, the Senate, all of them pay lip service. And so along those lines, what I want to begin to do today is to begin a study on the United States Constitution. I talk about it quite a bit and have for several years here on Blessings of Liberty, but to really look at what the Constitution says about some things. I'm not going to go through it line upon line. We only have 30 minutes once a week, and so it would just be impossible to do that in this format, but I want to take something every week and point out about the Constitution and what it says. Even if people say we need to get back to the Constitution, well, what do they mean by that? And so we want to begin to study the United States Constitution. And the first thing we need to understand concerning our nation is that America, when we're talking about our form of government, is a representative form of government. We are a constitutional republic. That is what we are in America. This is why the Constitution is so important, because our government was created as a constitutional republic. We have a representative form of government. And what I mean by that when I say we have a representative form of government is that we elect our legislators. Now, let me read. We're going to look at the Constitution for the next several weeks. And I want to begin reading today from Article 1, Section 1. This is the very first paragraph in the Constitution under the preamble. We'll say just a little bit about the preamble in a moment. But when the Constitution begins, it says this: all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and House of Representatives. We have a representative form of government, a House of Representatives. Then the next sentence, it's Article 1, Section 2, says, the House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen every second year. And it goes on and talks about the election of the House of Representatives. But it is not by accident that the first institution discussed in the Constitution is the House of Representatives. Now, if I wanted to go about and try to change America from what it is into something else, and I wanted to sort of be deceptive in doing that, you know, I don't believe yet, will just come out and say, you know, we just need to trash all this Constitution and just do something else. They don't do that. Everything is done very slowly, very subtly, with sleight of hand. But if I wanted to put in the hearts and minds of people and change our nation from what it was established as to something else, then one thing that I would certainly do, I would go about calling America our democracy, and I would never mention that it is a republic. And I've noticed this among politicians in the past several years. I've paid particular attention when they're talking about our nation, what they call it. Now, some, those who would have a desire, at least in their words, to get back to the Constitution, they will bring that up. They will say, our republic. But I'll tell you, the president that we have right now, I don't believe I have ever heard him say or refer to America as a republic, but he is always using this phrase, our democracy, America is not a democracy. We have democratic principles, but we are a republic. We are a constitutional republic. Most people are familiar with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. Why did they say that in the Pledge of Allegiance? Because once upon a time, people knew the difference between a democracy and a republic, and America is a constitutional republic. We have a representative form of government. We're not a democracy. Democracies are a total different, what's the word I'd like to use there? They're just a total different form of government than a republic. Now, representatives, when we talk about, and the Constitution starts out, first of all, talking about the House of Representatives. The representatives are for and by the people. It's the largest house. It has the greatest number of representatives in it by far. And they are chosen according to the population of the different states. So each state has a different number of representatives. But now these representatives, this is what's mentioned first in the Constitution. They are there by the people. The people elect them. They're there to represent the people. If we were a democracy, everybody would go to the state house. Everybody would have input. You cannot do that except in very small formats. And so what you have when everybody goes down to the state house, what you have is a mob. And democracies always not evolve but devolve into a mob. And mob rule is not a good thing. But we have a House of Representatives that are to represent the people. Now, the Senate represents the individual states. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But the first that is mentioned in the Constitution is the House of Representatives. The representatives are for the people. Now, I want to begin this study. I want to point out that in the Constitution, and it's not like the Constitution is a 7-volume book. You can get a copy of this and you can read it in probably, I'm going to say, if you read it carefully, for sure an hour, probably less than that. But there are 7 constitutional institutions. I want to mention what I mean by that. The Constitution talks about these 7 groups of people, and I'm going to give them to you. Now, there's more that are mentioned in there, but we'll probably study this along these lines. Number one, there is we the people, and the people are sovereign. There's none above them. That's the first institution mentioned in the Constitution. There's the militia. We'll talk about that. Number three, there are the states mentioned in the Constitution. Number four, there are the United States. Number five, the Congress. That includes the House and the Senate. Number six, there's the office of the president. And number seven, there is the Supreme Court. 7 institutions recognized in the Constitution. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that that is in order of importance and influence. What's most important? We the people. And it goes on down the line. The militia, the states, the United States, the Congress, the president, the Supreme Court. We are living in a day and time where we've got this upside down. You would think that if you watch the news, what's going on? We've got it upside down. We've got the Supreme Court at the very top, the president, the Congress, what they say. Then the United States, that's that we could say is the federal government. Then the states. States' rights are very, very important. And our Constitution was set up to protect the individual rights of the states, that the states could be sovereign and that they could govern themselves, make their own laws. We have this still in America today. Then we have the militia. Then we have we the people on the very bottom. We've got everything upside down in our nation. I saw something the other day. This is something you might see on a bumper sticker or a T-shirt. And it said this: our Constitution was intended to protect us from a government exactly like the one we have today. And when I seen that, I thought, boy, that's interesting. How true that is. Our Constitution was intended to protect us from a government exactly like the one we have today. So our Constitution is very important to us. Now, I said when I was talking about we the people, that we the people are sovereign, and there is none above them in political power. I want to take just a moment and explain what I mean by that, the sovereignty of the people. Now, if you get a copy of the United States Constitution or the Constitution of the United States, it begins by saying we the people. That's what begins. It doesn't say by order of the president or Congress or the Supreme Court. It begins and it says we the people. Now, it's hard to study the Constitution without mentioning or talking about the Declaration of Independence. These two must go together. In fact, in my little copy of the Constitution and the Declaration that I have, it says in the flyleaf, very first page, it says the Declaration of Independence was the promise. The Constitution was the fulfillment. Now, if you read the Declaration of Independence, it says in the beginning, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. They go on down, talking about we hold these truths to be self-evident. Then it talks about governments, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Now, if you study the Declaration of Independence, what they did, they took it upon themselves the authority to dissolve their present governmental ties. They said, you know what? We're tired of King George. We're tired of these taxes. We're tired of this mess. And we've tried to work it out. Now, this is my paraphrase of the Declaration of Independence. We've tried to work it out. He won't listen to us. So you know what we're going to do? Fooey with him. We're going to do something else. That's what the Declaration of Independence does. That's what they're talking about. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people. So in the Declaration of Independence, they said, we the people, this is what we're going to do. We're cutting ties with Great Britain. We're going to start something else. So the Declaration of Independence was the promise. The Constitution was the fulfillment. When the Constitution begins, it says, we the people of the United States, the people are sovereign. The people are the ones that are really supposed to govern. The power is in the people. My time is quickly come and gone today. I must wrap it up. But in America, we're going to study the Constitution. I hope you'll be able to listen in each and every week, and that you'll get a blessing out of it. This is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. It's a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and you may contact us 828-963-4596. That's 963-4596. Also, check out our church website, mountlebanonbc.org, mountlebanonbc.org. We appreciate you listening. And we're going to say good day, and God bless you is our prayer.
Local news and information with Roden in the Morning. Your favorite news talk throughout the day on AM 1450 WATA. Boom.
I'm Mike Rayleigh. Snow and frigid temperatures are on the way, but today most of the state will see some sunshine and temperatures in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. Jonathan Blaze is with the National Weather Service Forecast Center in Raleigh and tells